All right, so welcome to Dial a Dork, everyone. My name is Irv. We are live from my basement. Yes. And I am joined tonight by Dewey the Answer Man. Dewey, how are you?
Tired. I'm tired.
All right, Dewey's tired, so going to be a lackluster performance from Dewey as opposed to his normal charismatic self. All right, anyway, it works. We're going to do our Nauticon roundup, and we'll probably talk about some other things. But first, we're going to do something we haven't done in a long time on the show, and that's some live troubleshooting. And it's probably not going to go well. Because there's probably nothing we can do right now from here. But anyway, joining us tonight is Rita D. Rita, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too good, Irv. You got to help me.
Okay, well, the Cleveland dorks will do their absolute very best to help. But Rita, if you would, for the benefit of our audience, please recap for the 900th time what is going on with your laptop.
Well, you know, I've been working on my laptop fine, no problems. Came home today, wanted to play a CD for my husband to show him something people have been working on for me. We played it. It kind of stuttered around a little bit, but it was okay. After that, I took it out, and I proceeded to go on with what I needed to do, work on some Excel spreadsheets, etc., and my laptop froze up. So I turned it off for a couple minutes, turned it back on, and within seconds it would freeze up again, and this happened two or three times. And then I called my trusty computer guy, and here we are.
Okay, so basically what we've got here is your classic freeze-up situation. Now, how long after, like, how far does it make it when you boot up the computer? I mean, you see the Windows splash screen, and you get to the point where, do you even have to select, like, a profile or log in or do anything like that?
No, it took me right to my main screen where I have all my icons and my start menu and the whole thing.
Your
I didn't
desktop.
Have any kind of a log-on situation.
So it just goes straight to your desktop.
Yep.
And as normal.
Yep.
And it lasts maybe how long before it freezes up?
Well, every time it got shorter and shorter. It started a couple of seconds, and I could actually like get into my Excel spreadsheet, and then the next time, and then it would freeze up, and then the next time it got shorter and shorter and shorter till the last time I couldn't. I got to my desktop, but no cursor ever appeared.
All right. Now, my very first instinct says heat. Heat issue. Something happened, and the CPU is overheating. And usually when the CPU overheats, Windows just sort of hangs or behaves very, very erratically, gets slow, and then hangs. Or programs just crash. Or if the computer is sophisticated enough, which your laptop probably isn't and most computers aren't, will actually do some kind of, heat-based, shutdown, like a routine or whatever. My first guess is heat. So now you've had it off for about 5 minutes now, six, 7 minutes?
Yes.
So that, to me, would be enough time for it to cool pretty significantly. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. What would the show be without you, Drew?
Positive reinforcement.
A monologue, I think.
I think so. It pretty much is anyway. All right, so what do you say we go ahead and turn it on?
I can do that.
And you'll just turn it on and start interacting with it, and we'll just kind of see how long before it freezes up or if it freezes up at all.
Okay, well, I got a little compact flashing on the screen, and let's see what happens. I got a glow. I got my Windows XP starting up.
Okay.
I've got lights, I've got cameras, no action yet.
Very good. And of course, Rita pointed out to me earlier that she's very much under the gun with some sort of project due within the next, couple of days. And naturally,
only happens when you're under the gun, right?
Yeah, so this is one of those, worst possible times for a computer to go bananas, but...
Is there a CD floppy or USB drive inserted?
No.
Good.
There was, but I removed it.
All right, so there we go.
What CD was it by any chance?
I'm sorry?
What CD was it that you were playing? before?
It was a slideshow that someone put together for me for an event that's happening this weekend.
So not a Sony music CD.
No.
If it was a Sony music CD, it's possible that it could have installed some kind of digital rights management rootkit or something like that that could have broken some things. But we've managed to eliminate that cause.
Okay,
now, have you made
it? I got a Windows XP, and it's giving me different users. Shall I click on myself to get this started?
Now, did that go?
Cursor that's moving.
Did that go into safe mode?
I'm sorry?
Did it go into safe mode? Does your resolution look really weird?
No.
Okay, well, go ahead and click on your normal self.
My normal self, such as it is. It says it's loading my personal settings. Ooh la la.
All right, sounds like the problem's solved. Thanks for calling.
I don't think so. We've gotten this far before, my dear. Ooh, we have music. We have sound. We have beverages. All right, we have the desktop.
Okay.
I have no menu on the side yet. That's still loading. I have a cursor that moves.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, well, we have gotten this far before. I am not excited.
Let me ask you a question.
Hmm.
Do you have any fan noise?
On a laptop?
Yes.
Fan noise?
Yes, like laptops very often have small fans positioned in various places to expel hot air out of the or either to pull cool air in or expel hot air out of the chassis.
I gotcha. No, I have click 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 clickety click noises, but I have no fan noises. Now this phantom interesting orange CD looking thing has appeared again below my start menu, which I have never seen before.
Below your start menu?
Yeah, it's like an orange disc. It does, you know where my menu normally says start, you know, where I can, you know, where my toolbar is.
Yeah.
I've got this phantom disc. It's an orange-looking sphere that I have not seen before.
And it's over top of your start menu or instead of your start button?
No, it's on the toolbar.
Oh, it's on the toolbar.
There's nothing else on the toolbar yet, just this thing.
It's on the toolbar like it... Like a quick launch icon, or?
Yes, it looks like a quick launch icon. There's a couple of arrows. There's a double arrow below it. There's nothing else on my toolbar yet because I'm still seem to be loading things. I've got my cursor and I've got my little hourglass clock. Oh, kind of clicking on and off.
Yeah, so it's loading, continuing to load startup programs.
It says my wireless assistant is on.
Okay.
So I seem to have internet connection. Oh, something just flashed. What was
Can you go over to that peculiar orange thing that you're not familiar with and right-click on it and see if it gives you an opportunity to select, say, properties?
I will do that. I'm there. It says it is a CBS Photo Editor Plus launch. Hmm. Okay.
Oh, so it's, you know what, it sounds like some...
We were using CBS Photo Editor earlier in the week.
Okay, so it obviously added itself to the quick launch bar, although...
There you go.
Why so prominently is...
Okay, so now I've got a cursor that seems to be moving nicely. Shall I attempt to go to the internet or something? Because that's what I was trying to do.
Well, sure. Do whatever it was you were planning on doing and interact with it normally, and we're just trying to gauge and see, you know, how long it's going to last. You're still not hearing any fan noise whatsoever?
Nope. No fan noise.
Go ahead and open up the... Go ahead and open up Internet Explorer, whatever it is you use to surf the internet.
Okay.
And I want you to go to Google.
Okay. I'm opening Internet Explorer. This is actually farther than I got the last time I logged on.
Okay.
I told you the problem was solved.
What did you say? I'm sorry?
he said he told you the problem was solved.
Yes, you did, actually.
All right. Actually, here's where I want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go to a website called... Almico, A-L-M-I-C-O.
No, don't get crazy now, because nothing's happened here.
A-L...
I know, but nothing's happened here. Hold on.
Oh, nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened. I'm... It's thinking. Oh, it's opening. That's a good thing. Hold
okay.
on. It's taking a long time, though, Mr. Irv.
Well, the hard drive might be busy. Do you have a hard drive activity light?
Yes, I do.
Is it flashing on and off, or is it solid?
Here I am. It's asking me for a password. This is good.
Okay.
Further than I've gotten in the last 3 hours.
Well, this is going to be some of, we're going to talk about some of Dork Almighty's free software of the week.
Ooh.
We're going to try, before we run out of time, to download it and install it.
Okay, I'm still, I just put in my password and I'm in a clock now and we are waiting. Like NASA, T-minus and minus.
All right. Well, the program I'm going to have you download is called SpeedFan. And what it is it's a program that monitors various system temperatures, and you can control your fan speeds and...
Okay, guess what? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have breaking news.
Oh.
I just lost my cursor.
You just lost your cursor?
I got to my mail. I got to Yahoo because that's what I log into.
Okay.
And I just lost the cursor and froze.
And you got nothing?
I've got nothing.
Well, can you, would you do me a favor and feel around the bottom of your laptop and just to see if it's it's much hotter than normal?
With its permission, of course.
Eh, it's like a baby. Just flip it over and do what you gotta do.
I'm feeling it's warm, but this sucker's always warm.
But you're not hearing any fan noise at all.
No, and I know exactly what you're talking about because usually it does kind of click on a little hum.
See, I'm worried that maybe I'm worried that maybe your fan, either the fan on top of the CPU, if there is one, or the case fan, has broken or died.
Mm-hmm.
And if that thing isn't running, then with a laptop such as yours, which is a relatively new laptop, and probably generating a fair amount of heat,
mm-hmm.
Could easily have this problem. The CPU could overheat very quickly. And get to a point where you just, it just can't function.
So what do I do in my crisis situation?
Well, see, this is actually a very difficult situation because, first of all, the fan itself that we would need is probably a specialty item that we would have to order. Or there may be a store around here that has one. Maybe Micro Center would have them if it's a common enough size, but they're very small. They're very small. They're probably, you know, 30, 35 millimeters across?
33 and a third. There's two sizes,
this
33 and a third and 45.
Than it normally feels.
78.
Hmm.
Ah, nice.
Oh, you know what's weird? Oh, my God. My screen has just kind of gone completely opaque, and on the right-hand side, there's, like, darkness creeping in. This is weird.
Darkness creeping in. I've seen
like
that.
This black cloud coming in, and I just lost my screen.
All right, you know what? Hold down your power button until it turns off. I've seen this sort of thing before. I actually had a laptop that would do that with because of a bad video card. Mm. Rita, you're in a bad situation.
This is not a good thing, Mr. Earth. I have like 200 people who are waiting for things that are in my computer this weekend.
I know.
Not making me happy here, master.
Well, look, this is a tough situation because I think what you've got is some kind of physical. I think you've got some kind of physical failure happening inside the laptop. It's either a fan that's gone dead and can't cool the system.
Uh-huh.
Or it's a video card that maybe got a little fried, or maybe it's a cascading thing where the fan died and then the heat has damaged the video card, or is damaging the CPU. And you know basically the more you use it right now, the more likely that you know irrevocable damage is going to take place.
Okay, how do I proceed? How do I fix this? Question?
Well, the way that you fix it, first of all. Is in all likelihood you need to talk to the manufacturer.
Okay.
Is it by any chance? Did you get like an extended warranty or is it under warranty?
I've had this for several years. I do not think it's under warranty anymore.
Okay. So in other words, this is actually one of those situations. Laptops are funny. They're very expensive to repair. They're very tricky to repair. Not a lot of people have the parts. And you usually get charged a lot for the parts and a lot for the labor, and it's very labor-intensive.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and actually, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm about 90% sure that this problem is only going to get worse, and it's something physical, and it would have to be fixed.
Okay.
It's not like a little software bug or something. This is something that's...
It's a hardware problem.
Well, yeah. And now, it could just be the fan. It could just be a fan. And it could be the kind of thing that's, like, you know, right underneath the keyboard or whatever, and just a few screws and a couple of little clips, and you have access to it. You unscrew it, and you put a new one in, and done. But it could be something else, or there may have been cascading, you know, damage that's really pushed it past the point of repair. Now, let's put that aside for a second. What we need to think about right now, because you have immediate needs, is we need to think workaround. Okay.
Okay, and what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by workaround is, how are you going to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, given your situation?
Well, I have paper, and we're going to pull another laptop and start from scratch and work like little beavers.
Well, what is it that's on the laptop that
I need?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Now I'm smelling something hot, and I don't know whether it's just... Oh, never mind. It's just my neighbor smoking. Little levity there.
Okay.
What do I need for this weekend? I am putting together a benefit, and I am in here. I have a list of everyone who has RSVP'd for this benefit and who has paid and who has not paid. And I also have in here a tribute book that we are putting together to honor someone, and that book we were going to take and have printed tomorrow, and it was a 30-page book.
Okay, so what are we talking here?
Publisher, by the way.
We're talking publisher, and we're talking an Excel spreadsheet.
Correct. Well, those are my immediate needs. Yes.
All right. Your husband has a laptop, does he not?
He does.
Does it have Excel and Publisher on it?
It does.
Okay, I think that the way to go right now is what I would probably do is remove the hard drive from your laptop. And normally that isn't all that difficult to do. You have to be gentle, but typically it's not that hard to do. You may have to go to your manufacturer's website to find a service manual or something like that, and you're going to, in all likelihood, need a relatively small Phillips head screwdriver, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm suggesting is that you basically pull out the hard drive and you put it into one of these little enclosures.
Enclosures.
Like some kind of, like, you know, like these little external hard drives that everybody has?
Yeah.
You can get a small enclosure at Micro Center. For not a lot of money, for less than, like, $40, you can get a little enclosure for a laptop-sized hard drive. And you basically put it in there, and then you're going to plug that sucker into your husband's laptop, and you're going to work on your files. Because I'm guessing that the hard drive is fine.
Yeah.
The files are fine. You just need to get to them.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, to be perfectly frank, I might start looking at the... tech store circulars.
Yeah, I get you.
Because I think that laptop has something's gone horribly awry, and I don't think it's anything that's going to be easily fixed.
It'd be just cheaper to buy a new laptop.
I actually do, unless it was just one fan that was easy to get to, but we still would have to take the time to take a look at the service guide and see just how difficult it will be to open up the case. I mean, you can so easily break something just doing that.
Right.
You know, it's...
Is there a place or an expert that can handle this for me?
Well...
I don't feel comfortable in doing that.
See, that's why you might consider calling your manufacturer, and they may have certified repair shops here in town that they would send you to. Right. I mean, you might be able to take it to Micro Center, but... You won't have it back for, I'm guessing, at least a week.
Right. my event is Sunday morning. So
exactly. So I mean, we have to kind of
work for me.
We kind of have to act fast here.
Yeah.
So
the manufacturer may know this problem. I mean, it might be common enough that they have a service bulletin out or something.
That's true too. I mean, this may not be the first time this has happened to this family of laptops. It's a good point.
What brand is it?
What brand is it?
Compact, HP.
Okay. Mm. So basically, I would go to their website, and you're going to have to hunt around a little bit, but you're looking for, you know, a support phone number, and you're basically trying to find, certified repair people or facilities in your area,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you could take the laptop there. However, you could maybe do that next week. In the meantime, you could pull the hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to remove all of the little, you have to remove the brackets that are going to be on it,
mm-hmm.
and possibly a little adapter too on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to basically want to remove all this stuff and be very, very, very gentle, never squeezing the thing on the top or the bottom. You can kind of hold it firm on the sides, but never squeeze the top and bottom of a laptop hard drive.
Never.
They're kind of sensitive like that.
I wouldn't.
And basically, you're going to put it inside one of these enclosures, and you're going to plug that into one of the USB ports in your husband's laptop or someone else's computer.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to then either copy your files over or however you want to proceed.
Well, that certainly sounds like my best alternative.
Well, that's something that you could literally do... tomorrow, you might have, depending, I don't even know when they close. They might close at 10 o'clock. You could even do it tonight.
Idle and house is on.
Okay, tomorrow then. We've all got our priorities, it sounds like.
I was trying to get a little levity in here because I'm really looking for the gun right now because this is not a good thing.
If you weren't laughing, you'd be crying right now.
Yeah, you got it, baby.
All right, so look, I hate to be, you know, so kind of... fatalistic about it, but it really does, it's really not good.
No, I know. I understand.
And it's definitely physical, I think, at this point.
All right. It always is with me.
So look, you are more than welcome to call me tomorrow.
And I will.
And I could
certainly try
to squeeze in a few minutes to help you or at least get the equipment. And, you know...
Well, I have to tell you, I do not feel comfortable doing this operation myself.
Okay, well, look, give me a call tomorrow, and we'll figure out when I can come by and help you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thanks for being
on the show.
You are welcome. I'm glad to be your your victim here.
Well, it's been a long time since we had actual troubleshooting call, but it was fun. Thank you.
Glad it was fun for somebody.
Oh. Well, don't worry. We're going to get your data off of there, and this is just going to be one of those times where we're just going to end up throwing money at the problem, basically.
Well, you know, I've got nothing but money right now.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Right. So, when your radio show is all over and done, please give me a call so we can continue this conversation in private.
All right, you got it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I was Googling while you were talking.
Oh, well, did you find... Was I wrong?
No. There's a million posts out there that say, this is happening to me. What could be going on? It's the fan.
Oh, it's the fan?
Yeah. Or it says it's overheating. It doesn't say that. Why exactly.
Yeah. Well, she said she heard no fan noise.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And it's amazing how quickly the chips can overheat. I have this laptop right here. Okay,
that one there.
This is a Pentium 3, 1.2 gigahertz. Okay. And I have disabled the fan, the CPU fan.
Why would you do that?
Because it was very loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, you know what? I'm just going to disable it, and let's see how long it runs.
How long does it run?
It's never stopped running. And the reason I was able to do that was because it had two settings. Okay? It had two settings in the BIOS, one for performance and one for silence.
So did you throttle back the clock? The clock speed of the CPU?
No. But I noticed that...
Is that maybe what silence setting does?
Maybe.
Did you run system info for Windows and see what the clock speed is and then turn the fan back on and see what the clock speed is then?
No. Should I?
Well, it would tell us the answer of what the silence setting does when you do it in BIOS.
I think it's still set for a silence, actually. Because when I set it for silence, it was the fan was off all, but almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to disable the damn fan mm-hmm. and be done with it.
So the cheapest solution I found was to blow off the fan with some compressed air. Because if it's dirty, it's not blowing good enough. But she says it's not even coming on.
Well, see, I think if it's all crapped with dust, you would really hear it.
Yeah. So one thing you could do to make sure that it is the fan and not a software problem is boot it up but don't log in. And if it still freezes up.
Oh, that was a hell of an idea.
Well, you were making the point that you're probably damaging it every second that it's powered up.
Well, so. I think you are.
But another thing you could do is take out the batteries and any removable drive bays to get some airflow.
Well, where were you the whole time?
Googling.
All right, well, I will make sure I mention some of these things. I'll have her do that.
You can try some of these
things. I'll have her do that. I think that's totally... I
think it's going to end up being a write-off, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I didn't like what I was hearing. No question about it.
It's a depressing start to the show, isn't it?
It was tough.
Can you go on the internet if you boot in safe mode?
Yes. You have to go to safe mode with networking.
Maybe you should try that. I've seen Windows systems get screwed up by software so often that I would like to eliminate that as a possible.
Well,
cause.
But the screen going like white and then black, I had that happen to a laptop that I purchased for my cousin. And whenever I would put... The thing was something happened to... Basically, something happened to the video card. I don't know what, but something happened to the video card. And basically, when I installed anything but the generic drivers, it would just instantly do that.
Weird.
So, I mean, it's a possibility that it's something...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because stuff usually doesn't just go bad. I mean, it's after you install something that...
Hardware can just go bad.
Right. I mean software.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm looking at the system info for Windows, which is fantastic, by the way. SIW.
Yeah.
If you can get yourself a copy, it's free.
I should put that in the show
notes. Oh, and by the way, the place I was going to... also, SpeedFan at Almico, ALMICO.com. SpeedFan is a pretty amazing program, too. Although it does take a little while to get used to. You have to kind of... it would be wise to look up the safe heat range for your CPU when you're customizing it. Because a lot of motherboards, I guess, come, especially in laptops, come with very aggressive... fan settings.
Yeah.
And you can really you can basically say like, okay, well, we want to keep the CPU under 50 degrees Celsius when in reality your CPU can actually withstand as much as like 75 degrees Celsius or like 69 degrees Celsius or something. So you can really like, you know, change that setting to like 65 degrees instead of 50, and so that way the fan won't kick on all the freaking time.
So it'll be quiet.
Because
you're using your laptop in church, perhaps?
Absolutely.
In a movie theater?
Absolutely. So anyway, the CPU clock says 1196.
And what is it if you put it on the performance setting?
Well, I mean, I think it's a 1200 megahertz. It's a 1.2 gigahertz Pentium 3.
So it only slows it down by 4 megahertz.
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't... I don't know what the deal is. Maybe I didn't put it on silence anymore. Maybe I took it off there. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's run absolutely perfectly for over a year now with no fan. And I think I just got lucky. And if you're interested, it's a Latitude D600. Oh, no. Excuse me. A Latitude C400. It's a very small laptop.
It sure is.
It's very tidy and small. It's probably like 3 pounds or something. It can take up to a gig of RAM, and it's actually quite a nice little laptop. It can do pretty much everything you'd want your laptop to do, unless you're, you know, doing if you're writing code, maybe you'd.
What if you wanted to make fan noise?
Believe me, it'll do that.
Oh, really?
It will do that if you turn the fan on.
Nice.
But I've found that in this machine, you can absolutely disable the fan. In fact, I think I removed it altogether.
You removed the fan?
Yeah.
Is that a BIOS setting, too? Remove fan?
No, it was a...
You drag it to the trash.
That was a screwdriver setting.
Ejects it.
That was it, man. Done. Gone. But anyway, I got this for like $250 with the gig of RAM in it.
That's a bargain.
On eBay.
The RAM alone is worth $600?
No, the RAM alone... Ram-a-lama ding-dong. The RAM alone is worth a gig of laptop. Two is 2 5-12s.
Yeah.
I guess PC 130... Well, here, let me... Maybe this thing will tell me.
Oh,
I think
sure
it was PC 133.
I think a good memorizer of system specifications. I would never know what was in my machine.
I've got 2 5-12s, but I really don't know what the clock speed on that is. It doesn't say. Maybe the Crucial.com system scanner would know.
Maybe it would.
Maybe it would. So, yeah. I thought it was a great deal. And so I was so happy that I went ahead and splurged on a couple of docking stations and extra like power supplies and stuff.
Figure as long as I got such a great deal on this laptop, I'm going to risk damaging it by turning off the fan. More or less.
Well, I got so frustrated with the fan that, yeah.
Maybe that's why his previous owner was so willing to give it up for such a cheap price.
Yeah, because the fan was so fucking loud?
Yeah.
I tried everything to get the fan to be quiet.
Did you stuff cotton in there?
Cotton?
Cotton.
I don't think so. It's a SD RAM PC 133. So, yeah. This is, well, looks like each one of those sticks is worth $99.99 on Crucial.com.
That's nearly $100.
So $200 worth of memory in there.
That's today.
Right off the bat.
How long ago was this?
A laptop with a... It's a small screen, but it's clear and it's bright and there's no dead pixels. I replaced the hard drive with a 40 gig... It came with like a 10 gig hard drive. I replaced it with like a 40.
Mm-hmm.
Nice quiet 40. I think a Seagate or something. So I tweaked it out a little bit, you know. Improved it a little.
I pimped it out a little.
All right, so what do you want to talk about, Nauticon or what?
Hey, whatever you want to talk about, man. It's cool.
Well, I want to hear... we were there, and I'm going to post the show that we did. It actually sounds
good.
Better than you think.
On that little microphone on that little laptop.
I think so.
Wow.
Yes, it has a little built-in microphone. It's this,
you should tell the people how we recorded the show.
Yes, at Nauticon, I ended up doing about an hour.
Oh, you talked to Bob that long.
Actually, I ended up for like 15 minutes. I'm talking to Bob about maybe getting him some work. So it's might not be great listening. And it talks about our billing rates and stuff.
Hmm.
I think he only bills $55 an hour.
Well, what can I say? I mean, I don't.
Well, what I can say is that I can definitely pay him that much to work for me if he's available and there's work that's within his skill set.
I'm just saying. Oh, I saw him soldering up a storm on Saturday. He can solder some stuff, man.
Well, and he's doing general contracting by helping his mother move her pizza shop.
Yes. That's pretty heavy.
You can hear all about it in the show that we recorded on my laptop in the built-in microphone, which is a little dot in the front left corner of the wrist area here. And it's looks like about the size of a... the diameter of a thick paperclip.
Yeah, I mean, that's another plus in the advantages column of that mighty...
Yeah, it's only got one USB port.
Really, how many do you need?
I guess with like a powered hub, you really only need one. It's got a... PCMCIA slot, but I think it's only like a half height. Like, I don't think you could put one of those Zircam... cards. Oh, it came with the wireless internet, like mini PCI card in it.
This just keeps getting better and better.
It has a built-in, in the back, it's got a built-in
Ethernet.
10/100.
Mm-hmm.
Infrared.
Video out.
Video out.
Docking slot.
Docking. Serial. Power. and then a little vent. On the side here, it's got modem, USB. It's got the, I think this is a for a floppy drive. PCMCIA, headphone and or microphone and headphone jack. It's got a speaker hole on the other side. Here's where the hard drive is, and there's really nothing over here in the little lock thing. It's got touchpad and eraser head.
I don't really like the eraser head.
Well, but some people don't like the touchpad. Some people really like the eraser. So it has both.
I like when they had trackballs built in.
Touch balls. That sounds great.
I really love touch balls.
I love touch balls. Okay, so I think this is a fantastic little laptop. I've been incredibly happy with it. The only problem is that it's pretty hard to get a good battery for it. The battery I have now has about an hour of life, and the battery it came with was basically in an error state, even though it actually works for like half an hour.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, what can you do? All right, so let's talk about Nauticon. We were very remiss over the last... Well, we didn't really even do a show hardly in April. And the last show we did, Matt and I only thought of it right at the end of the show.
Yes, I listened to that show.
And we were kind of ashamed of ourselves for doing that. But basically, Nauticon was this weekend, and it looked like it was pretty well attended.
There were, I think he said, 235 people there?
235 people, and I guess, averaging about, a $60 entry fee?
They did it different this year. Past years, it's been first come... They had different levels of ticket prices, and the first people who registered got the cheapest ones.
Isn't that how they did it this year?
No, this year you got to pick what level you wanted. So if you were a nice guy and you could afford it, you could register at the $80 level, even if you were the first guy to register. If you were a nice guy.
So this is almost like getting into the Museum of Modern Art or whatever. Or,
I've never gotten into
the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City.
Never.
When you go in, there's a requested donation of like $15 to get in, but you can just say, you know what, I already know. You just say no.
So it works the same way as last year if everybody's, greedy. And so it's no loss, but if somebody decides that they wanna, keep a couple slots open for the students or the people who are underemployed or whatever, then they can.
So they just basically,
or if their boss is paying for it.
So you're saying they limited, the number of $50 entry fees, the number of six. So basically, if you were first and you're like, yeah, I want one of those $50 ones, you could get one. Yeah. Or if you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm just gonna.
Like if the company's paying, which I don't know how many people were there.
All right. So plus they had some sponsors, right?
They seemed like they had more sponsors this year.
But what are those sponsors? I mean, are they really contributing cash, or are they contributing something else?
I don't know. Some of them contributed cash. Some of them contributed food and refreshments for the
There was
the so-called con suite.
I went up there. Did you go up there?
I did.
It was a shitload of caffeinated drinks.
Yeah, a lot of energy drinks.
And a lot of Cheetos and chips
there on
and
Saturday,
fruit.
Yeah, oranges.
Well, Friday
and
night there was Oreos.
Oreos.
And they were all out of diet soda. It was nothing but sugar soda, so I skipped it. There were no bottled waters, which disappointed me.
Wow.
And there were some, looks like some donation jugs for the con suite.
Yes, there were.
So whatever, but that was nice to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Go up there and get a snack. That's nice. That was nice.
And here's a trick.
Oh, a guy was up there playing with his Casio Tone VL10 or whatever.
How awesome is that?
The one with the little buttons instead of, buttons that were laid out like the keys, but they weren't like keys. They were just,
Wow.
Ding, dun, 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 But it had a little rumba beat going on. It was great.
It was pretty hot.
It was great.
I'm sorry I missed that.
And it was the plastic was all yellowed.
Yeah.
Just so vintage. It was fantastic. I mean, Mark Sherwood had one of those in elementary school. For a week, he was just the finest human being who ever walked the planet. I mean, just had a Casio Tone. It was amazing. Totally fucking amazing.
I wonder if he still has it.
I wouldn't know where to look for Mark Sherwood. And you know what? I don't want to.
Classmates.com.
But you know what? Do they do that for elementary school?
I have no earthly idea.
There was a kid in my elementary school in my year, who was from Germany.
Germany.
Right? From Germany. I don't know when he came over from Germany.
Germany, Maryland?
Because he's... No, Germany, Germany.
Oh, Germany, Germany.
Like Munich, Germany.
I see.
Or
I see.
Hamburg. Or Kaiserslautern.
Berlin.
Or Cologne.
Okay, I get the picture.
Germany.
The foreign Germany.
West Germany at the time.
Okay, yeah.
And he's from West Germany, and he comes over, and I don't know when, but he spoke pretty good English, so probably when he was a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this was freaking first grade, first or second grade.
Sure,
so, I mean,
sure.
He spoke okay English. Well, he was the most unbelievable soccer player.
Oh,
at
wow.
That, in our,
he's a Euro.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And he was the best fucking soccer player at that age anyway. And sure. I had seen a lot of people play soccer at that age because I was on the select team. And we were playing in, like, the statewide cups. And we actually won it when I was 10. I mean, I saw a lot of people play. And I saw a lot of talented kids who could, like, you know, handle the ball and shoot hard, accurate shots. And you know, just take the ball away from you like it was ridiculous, you know.
Like Meadowlark Lemon.
This kid was from another planet.
He was the Meadowlark Lemon of soccer.
Something like that, man. He was just from another planet at this age. Okay, I mean, he was the best kid in the school. Matt Williams couldn't hold this kid's jock. All right, so basically, and it was how it really manifested itself in the most interesting ways. In class, when we all had to come and sit down, like Indian style on the floor, like gathered around something.
Do they call it Indian style in Germany?
They call it Indian style. was that a German accent?
More Russian to me.
They call it Indian style. Now that was my Russian. Okay, so
how did it manifest itself?
We would fight over who got to sit next to him.
Why? What?
Because he was a god.
I see.
And his name was Niels Bruckner.
Niels Bruckner.
Niels Bruckner.
Niels Bruckner. Should I Google that?
Like N-E-I-L-S B-R-U-C-K-N-E-R. It might be I-E in Niels, but I think it was E-I.
that's funny. I Googled it E-I and Google asked me, did you mean Niels with I-E?
Well... there you go. I think that's it. Niels Bruckner.
He
submitted his thesis on the development of an enhanced sensitivity. I don't know. That doesn't. I don't know. I have no idea if he was smart at all. All I know, he was the greatest.
You didn't get a clue about that when you were sitting Indian style next to him?
You know, I was pretty good at soccer. So. He would often select. Oh, so he would select who got to sit next to him.
Huh?
Because we'd be like, Niels, can I sit next to you? Can I sit next to you?
So he's like Fonzie.
Grade
Fonzie.
He was first grade Fonzie, dude. I mean, he couldn't like snap and make the jukebox go, but I mean, this guy was.
Did he have an office in the bathroom?
Well, if he did, I never got invited in there. So,
I see.
You know, but yeah, there's some guy named Niels Bruckner is into a lot of physics stuff. No doubt about it.
And good for him.
But anyway, Niels Bruckner.
Niels Bruckner.
So how did we get to that?
I don't know. We're going to have to listen back to the show and retrace the steps.
Well, anyway, look. So we were at Nauticon.
We haven't even talked about levels. The registration fees yet. And we have a lot to go still.
This is just part one of a six-part series on this year's Nauticon.
Yes.
On the first 2 hours
of the series.
So anyway, the turnout was good.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that sounded higher than previous years to me, but somebody said it seemed like there's less people there, so I don't know.
It did seem a little less crowded.
It seemed crowded there, too. I thought it was crowded.
Well, like that one room, that main room where everyone kind of hangs out, and they had a Wii set up.
The network room.
Yeah, the networking room. They had a Wii set up, and they had some old hardware set up, and something about like picking locks.
Yes, the lock-picking pagoda.
The lock-picking pagoda was set up, and there was Jason Scott's Nauticon radio, which Jason came over, by the way. Were you there when he talked to me?
No, I wanted to talk to him, too, because he has a new project.
Okay, well, he came over to talk to – he does?
It's called Get Lamp. It's you know how he did the BBS documentary? He's doing one about interactive fiction now.
Oh, okay.
Remember like Zork? Remember?
Sure. Remember? Remember? Get Lamp. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
what
did he have to
say? Anyway, he came over and he says, you know, I never listened to your show, but I really love the emails.
Oh, he's on the email list.
Yeah. So he's like, it's always something like, everybody's sick and dying of the flu, so no show. Or my car crashed and no show. Or it's just like, we just can't do it, man. We just can't handle it. No show.
Yeah.
And so he was a kind of, I didn't know whether to feel good or bad about what he said.
Well, I don't know the answer. I don't know.
You know, I would like Jason Scott to think highly of me.
Who wouldn't?
But, you know, if he's not going to listen to my show, then how is he ever going to think highly of me? I'm not denying the possibility that listening to my show would have him would compel him to think lowly of me.
I know he downloads it, though, because he downloads all the podcasts.
I don't know if he downloads them or if he just has like the RSS feed kind of.
I think he's archiving every show of every podcast.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I wish he would listen.
Well, I don't. Maybe put that in the next email.
It's like, this show is especially dedicated to Jason Scott.
Even though my car crashed and everyone has the flu. And
oh my God, what's going on with that light bulb?
Oh, I think the fan is on the fritz.
Okay, we've got a light bulb that is wigging out.
Oh, it'll be fine. I guarantee it.
This is just a little loose?
Incandescent bulb. No. It's tight as a drum.
Okay. Well, it seems to have stopped flickering. That was pretty weird. A little dirty power?
You know, it heats up relatively quickly and then tries to shut itself down, just like Windows.
Just like Rita's laptop. All right, so you gave a talk.
I did give a talk.
And how did it go? You didn't seem, you seemed kind of nonplussed. At best, I'd say you were nonplussed. At worst, I'd say you were a little disappointed.
Minused?
A little minused.
It did not have a good turnout. I mean, part of the problem is I had a bad time slot, and I was against a better talk. I mean, I think the people that were in the talk, you know, they had some questions at the end, so it's not like they got up and walked out.
Yeah.
But it was just not
well attended. What was the subject?
The subject was Hacking Headhunters.
Okay.
That was the title, and the subject was the recruiting industry. I worked as a software developer in the recruiting industry for a number of years, and so I thought that it might be applicable to, you know, technical types who are frequently called by headhunters or whatever.
Things haven't changed as far as you know in the industry. I mean, your talk was relevant, even though you haven't worked in that industry. And I mean, you've been at Noteworthy for what, 5 years or something?
Over six.
Six?
It's still relevant because it's a pretty
static.
Yeah, it's you know, the same thing over and over again. The only thing that has really changed is there's less of them because they all went out of business when the dot-coms went away.
Right.
So.
Right.
There's a lot fewer of them. Not everyone survived, but other than that, the process, I think, is the
same. Is there something that
Well, I take that back. Well, I still have contacts, so I did some interviews and got some current relevant information. They do a lot more stuff with the online these days, like LinkedIn is the big
thing. Oh, right, sure.
Webby-nominated LinkedIn, which, yeah, by the way, they didn't win.
Oh.
The Army won for the employment category.
Hmm.
Yeah, LinkedIn is the place to be if you want to get headhunted, because they check there, because it's easy to do.
Okay.
So be there.
I'm on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Are we linked?
I think we might be.
Well, maybe through like a Kevin Bacon like series of connections.
You know Kevin Bacon too?
It'd be interesting to actually see how many LinkedIn links to get to Kevin Bacon it would be.
I don't know that he's in LinkedIn.
Well, I mean, we'd have to call him.
I'm adding LinkedIn to the show notes.
Okay, go ahead. So but let's forget the attendance, okay? That's beyond your control. How do you feel about your performance and the content of your talk? I mean, that's, you know, look, forget the attendance. You can't control that. It's not like, you know, you were supposed to market yourself or something. So how do you think you did?
I don't know. I'm not the best speaker.
Well, when you were done, were you like, I suck? Or were you like, you know what? I was pretty good there.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was sitting there and nobody was like really commenting or saying or just sort of sitting there, yeah, I was like, oh my God, what? Nobody cares. What? Yeah. This is horrible. But then the next speaker was up and I was sitting there and I realized I was doing the same thing. I was just, yeah, sort of staring at him, not saying a word.
Yeah.
But I was completely enthralled.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe that's just the way those type of people are.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But you think you might do another one next year?
I'm thinking about doing another one next year.
what would the topic be? What?
I have a few topics in mind. Maybe we'll let the Dial a Dork listeners choose.
Okay, well, you'd have to give us, I think, we could do some kind of online poll.
An online poll? That's good, because I don't really have the list in front of me. Exactly. I have some ideas kicking around.
All right, well, we'll
shape a few of them up.
And we'll wait till like next January.
Yes.
When you have and to actually we'll start thinking about it. Woo! Okay, so you know, I was only there. I showed up a little bit after your talk. Maybe I showed up about 9 o'clock actually, yeah. And we did about an hour in this little microphone here, and I talked to you, and I talked. You're actually very quiet on this thing because you're sitting about 2-3 feet away.
Yeah.
I've only listened like 5 minutes, but I just wanted to hear the sound quality. It was actually pretty okay. Mm-hmm. And then Bob and I played some Wii, but we didn't like record it on the show. But neither of us had played a Wii before.
I've never played a Wii.
So we did it, and we both like developed carpal tunnel in about 3 minutes, and I kicked his ass up and down the Wii-verse.
What game did you play?
Just that little sports thing. It was like really like training modules, you know. Like
oh,
first
really?
It was like little target practice and just learning how to use the damn thing.
Oh.
And let me tell you, my wrist was hurt. Like after like doing it for like 10 or 15 minutes, my wrist was really sore.
Wow.
Yeah. It didn't stop me from jerking off later, but
oh jeez.
All right.
You had to go there.
Come on, man. This show's been a little dry. All right, so
See what I mean? I'm a boring speaker.
I'm not talking. The first half of the show was pretty dry, okay?
Well, it was a troubleshooting call.
Yeah, so I mean, you know. All right, so what were your impressions of the rest of the event? I mean, what else did you check out?
Dude, you should have been at the talent show.
Oh, I couldn't do it, man.
But you should have.
I had to go home.
There's an opening act. The hip hop nerdcore band Dual Core.
Right, I heard about this.
Oh, they were very good.
Okay.
And then there was the talent show, and people came up and displayed their talents.
Such as
one guy got up there and sang Silent Night in the Wookiee language.
Really?
Yes.
Somebody has fleshed out the Wookiee language to the point where you can sing Silent Night?
I don't think he was singing words, but it sounded like the Chewbacca sound.
All right.
That was pretty funny.
I like that.
A couple people got up there and told funny stories. I can't remember. One dude played a song from some video game that I don't recognize on an electric guitar. That seems to be all the rage these days to play Super Mario Brothers or something on.
Okay.
And so forth. One guy got up there and recited the entire book Fox in Socks by Dr. Seuss.
In what science fiction-based language?
Just in English. English language.
He just read Fox and Socks?
No, he had it memorized, and he recited it.
Wonderful.
Then on Saturday night, we did the thing that was maybe, it might have been the funniest thing I've ever seen in person.
All right.
It was called Whose Slide Is It Anyway? They made up some topics for presentations, and they Googled that sentence or topic or whatever and got the images that came back, and they put together like a fake slideshow. Like 5 or 6 slides, and then they would call someone up out of the audience, and that guy would have to give a presentation on that topic and go through the slides. It was very funny.
All right, now wait.
Very funny.
Explain this to me again. Like, it's basically like you just get saddled with some PowerPoint presentation you've never seen before, and you have to just give it.
Yeah, you get up there, and the projector comes on, and it says, like Froggy did the first one, and it was on onomatopoeia.
Oh, good.
And so it had some funny pictures with onomatopoetic images and words, and you know, almost every slideshow had like some graphs in it, so you could get up there and say, oh, I'm presenting my research on the use of onomatopoeia in popular culture or something like that, and then as you go through the slides you have to make up stuff about the pictures that are on there or talk about the graphs that are on
there.
That's
good.
It was incredibly funny.
Fantastic.
It was insanely funny.
That's really good. I bet they'll do. Were you there when I mentioned my idea to Froggy for a thing next year?
What was your idea again?
It was a game show.
Oh, yes, with the buzzers.
We'd make the buzzer system name that video game tune.
Yes.
And you could, I was thinking like we would start, you know.
Because you have the ringtone.
Right. Oh, the ringtone Mule from Commodore 64. We would start kind of, you know, basic with, you know, your Mario Brothers and maybe like your Mega Man and Mortal Kombat and stuff like that. Then get a little more esoteric, you know, with from you know less popular game systems and things like. But yeah, I thought that might be rather enjoyable.
I think that would be very fun, but I didn't really play enough video games to be good at that, so I'd probably have to just
something tells watch. Me that there's going that there would be and actually I don't really know how what the best way to do it would be, but I don't really know what the best way to do it would be because the show or how to do the game, like would we just do just two like all-star teams put together of like, you know,
I think like King of the Hill, like whoever like you stay up there till you get knocked off.
And like what, the last man standing is the winner or whoever had the longest run?
Probably the last man standing. If they're getting harder.
How about we could do this? We could just say who can do get the most in a row and we'll just build like a whole bunch of sequences. You know, with an easy one and a harder one, a harder.
Oh, like string them all together and maybe you have to type out what the three were that you heard.
Well, no. I mean, what I'm saying is, like, you just basically will have a player come up there, okay, and it'll be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire kind of thing, where you basically just go until you fail, and whoever gets, you know, to the highest level wins, or maybe the two highest have to do a head-to-head round.
Yeah.
Where we start playing the song, and it's a speed round.
Speed round.
I'm gonna actually look on eBay for like a game buzzer system,
or maybe like Jeopardy, where you play it and then people have to write down their answers, and only the people who get it right get to stay for the next round.
Oh, so like
then you can have like 50 people start.
Okay, and I see what you're saying. So in other words, it would be like just the eliminator, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Or maybe you have to get two or three wrong before you sit down.
Well, maybe then we could do it in a land-based situation, where we'd have like a game server.
Oh yeah.
Where people basically can hear basically. You know, everyone's playing at the same time, and you hear the song on your laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, 30 seconds or whatever, 60 seconds to type in the name of the song or the game. It would be the game, or get close anyway.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing is spelling.
Yeah, we'd have to, when we build it, you know, when we do correct answers, we'd probably have to have like a little.
Could make a multiple choice.
Yeah, but then you just get dumb luck.
Yeah, but if you had 12 choices instead of 4?
Oh, 12 choices.
Oh, 12 choices.
Ah, 12 choices.
That's the key.
We'll have to think about this. There's a lot of issues here.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a bare metal question.
Oh wait! Before we leave the subject of Nauticon,
no, I don't want to leave this. I wasn't trying to leave the subject of Nauticon. I was merely saying, what should we do? Should we finish out? Should we keep talking about Nauticon? Should we just keep doing? Should we just keep going?
I mean, it's 8:57.
I know. And usually, Yoko wants me to quit right at 9 o'clock. But
right.
This is a special episode, so
let me turn over the T-shirt to you. I got T-shirts.
Oh man, you're the best.
I thought you could pick one. They have different designs on the front.
Well, which one is...
Well, you're going to have to open them and look at them.
Look how they're so nicely wrapped.
Well, I didn't wrap them. I'm not going to be offended if they get unwrapped. But
extra large is good.
Although
I've gotten more into the extra, extra large these days.
Well, I was buying for the 80th percentile.
Not a con. I
saw the back. That's pretty clever.
Exclamation... This is the front.
That's the front?
Exclamation point a con.
The martini
glass is
on the back?
The martini glass is on the back.
Huh.
And it's the Nauticon martini, and the recipe is one part geek, one part artist, one part hacker, one part musician, shake well, add caffeine to taste, and serve over Cleveland.
Pretty funny, huh?
Yeah, wonderful. That's in royal blue.
I wanted to pick up a couple of shirts to, you know, support the cause.
Yeah, I mean, I paid, you know, I was there for all of an hour and a half, and I paid for a press pass. That was $40.
Oh, that's pretty big of you. And so I picked up a couple T-shirts, but I don't want them because I have a million T-shirts.
Oh.
That one has sort of a nice barcode theme.
Yeah, this has the barcode, and on the front, it's got a barcode that says Nauticon 3.
Yeah, I got last year's shirt.
Well,
I got one of last year's and one of this year's.
Let's see. I like this yellow one.
The yellow one it is.
I'll take last year's.
I'll shove the martini
glass. This one is too busy.
Could have been yours, Matt, but you decided not to show up tonight.
Yeah, Matt gets the martini then?
No, he didn't show up tonight.
He doesn't get anything.
He gets nothing.
All right, so anyway, he didn't even respond to the fucking emails.
He did, eventually.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Well, yeah, we should check the email in case someone emailed in during the show.
I've been looking, and nothing.
I don't even think
anyone's listening.
Even I'm not listening anymore.
I don't think we had a... the high number of listeners during the show is zero.
Hmm. What's the low... Oh, wah,
wah.
Negative listeners would be a pretty cool thing to pull. Well, I don't know. What's the bare metal? Can we answer it in 1 minute or less?
Well, no, here's the thing. I'm not done talking about Nauticon.
Oh,
so this was all Friday night?
Oh, no. Saturday night was the PowerPoint karaoke.
Well, anyway, so did you end up talking to Froggy and Tiger to get their impressions of how things went?
A little bit, but it was earlier on. It was like on Friday, I think.
How were they feeling? They seemed in good spirits on Friday.
Mostly good. They were complaining about the hotel staff, like, not necessarily being the most attentive.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's understandable. They have a whole hotel to run, not just one conference, so.
Right. But, I mean, much of the hotel, I think, was
sure.
Like 75 sure. rooms or something.
I don't know how many rooms.
75, I think.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of rooms.
Well, but they have 18 floors on that. Did you know that it goes up to
floors.
18 floors?
Yeah, well, 18 floors with how many rooms per floor? Like 20 or 30?
93. I don't know.
I'm in room 1793.
I have no idea.
An excellent year.
Oh, here's a tip, by the way.
Yeah.
If you have to go to the bathroom, go up to the second floor by the consuite and go, because the ground floor runs out of paper towels in like 5 minutes.
Okay. Very good.
And there's more traffic down there. So.
Terrific. I was a little concerned that when I drove up, I was able to park like right out in front of the restaurant. I was hoping there would be more cars around. But see, I'm worried that not enough like local people go to this thing.
You know, here's the thing. They asked the question, where's everybody from? And less than half the people were from Northeast Ohio. A bunch of people were from Michigan. And I think it's because there was a conference up there called Rubicon that sort
right.
of
right.
got decommissioned and
right.
then sort of moved the operations down to Nauticon.
Right.
So I think they inherited a large audience from Michigan.
Okay, well, I think they need to do a better job, maybe, of marketing Northeast Ohio. Because I mean, if I didn't know them, I wouldn't know.
Well, you didn't go except for a half hour. Matt didn't go. Russ didn't go. Shane didn't go.
Tim Wurzel didn't come down.
Hi, Shane. Tim didn't. But
he's not feeling so good.
Yeah.
We
have hospitals.
I mean, were any of the people? I'm curious if any of the listeners that have contacted the show, like a Digital Daredevil or any of these guys, did you guys go?
I didn't.
We didn't really do our part in marketing
really.
The show the con this year.
It was all over my weblog though.
It was all over your weblog.
Thinkythings.org/blog.
But we didn't really do any shows hardly in April. That would have been the ideal time to
sure,
be plugging
sure.
it, or maybe even have those guys come in. They were like surprised to see me actually because I've been I think I took them off the forwarding because they weren't responding anymore, they weren't coming to any shows or doing anything, so I just kind of took them off the forwarding list,
but not Jason Scott, who's still
no enjoying. Not the show announcement list.
Oh.
I'm talking about dorks at dial-a-dork.com. Used to go to them,
yeah,
also used
gotcha.
To go to Froggy anyway, and he just wasn't like responding at all, so I was just like, well, that's cool. I mean, we're not really on, we're not on real radio, so, it's kind of weird to go down to some dude's basement or whatever and
yeah,
just do this goofy thing.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but I mean, I was there, and it seemed like the same kind of spirit, and everyone seemed kind of pumped up to be there and enjoying each other's company. And
yeah.
And so, cool.
Yeah.
Was Drew Curtis didn't come this year?
Drew Curtis was there.
Oh, he was there.
He didn't do a talk. But there was a talk called the FARC dissertation. Somebody did their thesis on FARC.
Have you seen FARC's new design?
I've seen FARC's new design.
Not a fan.
But then again,
I've been really turned off of FARC because of the headlines.
I enjoy the classic FARC's format, but
I'm really sick of the amateur jokesters,
Well, you can be part of the problem, or you can be part of the solution. Get on there, and
I've never gotten anything green-lighted, so.
Well, then you're not any funnier than the amateur jokesters.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to find funny content, not write a snarky headline. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. I still go to Foobies every day. So
did they change the format of that?
Yeah.
Oh, everything's changed.
Everything.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. So your overall impressions, though?
Two thumbs up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try to be a little
I'll
bit...
I'll be back next year.
We'll be more aggressive with our marketing next year. We'll definitely put on... We'll definitely be in touch with Jason Scott, and we'll definitely do another marathon show.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a break and be more involved next year. This year was tough. I just had a kid. We didn't do any shows in April. It was tough.
Yeah.
All right.
It was unfortunate timing.
Bare metal question of the week, and then we'll run along.
Okay.
Tim Wurzels, bare metal question of the week. I want to get like one of those axe sounds, you know, like whoosh, you know, that kind of like whoosh. Do you know what the fuck I'm talking about? Like the sound of like the axe chop. It has like a metallic clang to it, you know? All right. I'll find it at some point.
Okay.
He says, Dorks, my DVD-R's clock recently broke. Now, he says DVD-R. I'm concerned that he means DVR.
Oh.
But anyway, I bought the machine about 6 months ago, and now the clock won't move.
Won't move.
I've tried setting it manually, unplugging the device overnight to reset the battery backup. Interesting. Using the automatic clock setting and nothing. Basically, when I plug it in, it gets the automatic clock setting from the local PBS station. And that's why I think it's a...
Right.
And it's correct, but after that, it won't change time. It's driving me crazy since I can't pre-program it to record. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to have to buy a new one, but I'm about to. Do you think it has anything to do with our lovely change in daylight savings time? And by the way, changing that setting also does nothing. Thanks, Tim. And my first answer is absolutely. It absolutely could have something to do with that. That is there a firmware upgrade available?
I don't know.
Some of these devices have like USB ports and various things like that where you can do like a firmware upgrade.
Interesting.
And so there may be you download it and you burn it to a DVD and then or something like that, and they have like a DVD player in there and
you may have to contact the manufacturer.
Yeah, I would actually the first thing I would do
Google
is
Google the make and model.
If it's only 6 months old, it may still be under limited warranty. It may have a 1 year limited warranty.
Take it back to Best Buy.
Wherever you bought it, either contact where you bought it or contact. Well, you just contact the manufacturer. It might be a known issue. There might be a firmware upgrade because it definitely could be the daylight savings.
Yeah. What was with that anyway? It seemed like nobody was prepared for it until like. Did they not decide on the exact date until?
No, they decide on the exact date, but there was a.
Why was everybody hustling around trying to patch it at the last minute?
Because they nobody talked about it.
Weird.
You know, it wasn't like Y2K that got all that information, even though it could have been. It was totally devastating to me at one client because they're using a BlackBerry Enterprise server, and that the whole thing, the Exchange server, okay, that it connects to, when it gets patched for daylight savings, broke this like rights, this send as rights, and you had to go through all this rigmarole to fix it. It was horrible.
I'm looking that up for the show notes.
It's absolutely fucking terrible. But Tim, I would suggest that the first thing that I would suggest is that you email us the make and model, okay? So that maybe we could help you in your research. But I would look for a firmware upgrade.
Google it.
Or something like that. And barring that, you need to contact the manufacturer. Hopefully it's still under warranty. But even if it's not, I think this is something that's really curious. And the daylight savings could easily have affected this somehow. I don't think it needs to be bare metal just yet, but I might need a firmware upgrade, even just to fix some function that maybe has gone screwy. If it's that still doesn't work, then maybe what's happened is that maybe it has a battery on the clock. Maybe the clock runs on a battery like motherboard BIOSes do, and maybe that battery is dead, and so the clock just... keeps dying, even though you would think that while it's plugged in, the clock would run on regular power, but I don't know.
It sounds like he can set the right time, but then he can't tell the clock to, hey, start ticking.
Yeah. Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the clock isn't actually
So what's up with that? Moving. I've never heard of that.
I have no idea. And none of the settings seem to make a difference, so I'm advocating looking into a firmware upgrade, and if you can't find one of those, I definitely would just contact the manufacturer, because this sounds really...
I say take it right back to the store, because those people deserve the hassle.
Well,
they're always pushing their extended warranty on you.
Well, did he get... Yeah, okay, so Tim, what we need to know is make and model, and what's the warranty status of the unit, and where did you buy it? How about that?
I think that's good, but I would just say, no matter what the problem is, take it back to the store. If it's under warranty.
Yeah, and you know what?
They deserve it.
But really, though, before calling the store, I would definitely contact the manufacturer first. I always do that.
That's not your job. That's what you're paying the store for. They mark up the price because they provide services beyond just the box.
I don't care about that.
I understand. Because you want it to get done, right?
But you know, the other thing is, I don't trust them to do it correctly.
Exactly.
So.
But they deserve the hassle.
You want to read it, you know, go read some horror stories about Geek Squad or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I've been getting so much business from people who are pissed off at Geek Squad, it's ridiculous.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, I think we better wrap it up.
Okay.
Wrap it up, B.
Later days.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Drew, for coming. I had a wonderful time.
Well, thanks for having me.
And look, I don't think we really did Nauticon justice this year. Not before, not during, and now not after. But next year, let us vow to do better.
Let us vow.
And I'm proud of you for doing a talk. I think that's awesome.
Well, next year maybe you can do one too.
Well, what do I have to offer?
Tons of people would love to hear about your experience taking business from Geek Squad.
Yeah, but there's nothing to say. It's just Geek Squad, you know, comes in and bare metals everything.
Yeah.
And then, but the problem still isn't fixed. I mean, they sent this lady's computer back.
Tell about what
back.
You do different.
I feel like everybody in that room already knows this.
There was a guy there who ran a robot parts business in Akron, and all he talked about was being an entrepreneur and starting a business. And people were interested, so you could do the same thing.
I'm much more comfortable doing a marathon dialogue session on Nauticon. I think that to me is where I belong at that
Fair
thing.
Enough.
And just kind of interviewing people, and mm-hmm. it would be great if Yoko could come along, and she's so great at, like, you know, corralling people and being like a girl.
Right.
And being in their face and just asking them and being kind of, you know,
it's all it takes at one of those
kind of goofing on them a little bit, you know. That's fun. All right, so anyway, Froggy, Tiger, wonderful job once again. Sorry we weren't more of a help. And
can
next year
one
we
final funny story.
Yes, please.
After Froggy did his slideshow thing, and he made so many, you know, off color jokes and everything, he asked his wife Tiger, "Am I ever going to get sex again?" And she said, "Yeah, maybe if you remarry."
Aww.
Pretty funny. That's a burn.
That's a big time burn.
Yeah, it was funny.
That Tiger. I liked her hair.
You liked her hair?
Yeah, I did.
It's a new haircut.
Yeah, kind of a spiky, not spiky, but I don't know, sort of spiky, kind of an 80-ish kind of, 80s-ish kind of short hair look for girls. That was nice.
Did you tell her?
I did. "So I like your hair." She's like, "Oh, thanks."
Women love it when you say their hair is cute, is the phrase you
have. Oh, I said, "Hey, I said your hair, I said I like your haircut or whatever. I like your hair." Something like that.
They love that.
Oh, yeah, she just melted. Yeah.
No. Good.
All right, man, that's it. So any last words?
Bye.
Perfect. All right, take care, guys, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Okay.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.